Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. Today, we're going to cover something that is extremely important, and it is something that we need to have a completely new view of how prophecies are being fulfilled. And it's what's happening in the world on such a level and so intense, yet the average person knows nothing about it. And I will say that perhaps 99% of church members know nothing about it. Now, what we're going to do, I'm going to introduce this in just a little bit different way, because I'm working on a paper titled God's Weekly Sabbath and Annual Festivals and Holy Days in the Calculated Hebrew Calendar. And here's the principle on which everything hinges, not just the calendar, but all human beings and God. So after showing that there are difficulties that are coming, I say we need to address some fundamental questions. And this is fundamental questions concerning everything to do with God, everything to do with prophecy, everything to do with our relationship with God, everything to do with what's going on in the world. And all of this goes clear back to Adam and Eve. So the first question is, did God leave it to men to devise their own schemes in order to observe the Sabbath and holy days on any day they choose? Let's rephrase this for a general thing. Did God leave it to man to decide for himself what is good and what is evil? So that takes us all the way back to the Garden of Eden, which then brings us up to today. All right? Number two, or did God give definite commands to men and women to obey his commandments, laws, and statutes? Because no one wants to obey God. Now, here is the result of all of this. If God did not give his laws and commandments and did not give men the choice to devise their own days, then any scheme that men devise, or anything that men devise, he would be obligated to accept. Therefore, any day or anything that men would choose would be correct. And this is what we're really doing. We're getting a broad definition of lawlessness. And I don't think we have understood the magnitude of the lawlessness in the world. We think of it too many times just in terms of the law of God and Sabbath Sunday, holy days, holidays. But we don't think of it in terms of the totality of the behavior of human beings under the auspices of Satan the devil. So it's much broader, okay? Consequently, so we have to carry this one step further. If this were true, or if these things were true, it would mean that men would have the power to command God to accept their humanly devised days or plans, or schemes, or work, even though they do it in the name of God, even though they name the days after God's days. Give you an example. When I was pastoring in Salt Lake City, and that's the, you know, the capital of Mormonism in the world. And so I had to learn all about Mormonism. However, you probably heard me mention this before, but I'll mention it again because it serves a point. Because this also brings out several things concerning human nature. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Every way of a man is clean in his own eyes. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. But it doesn't think so, because all evil in varying degrees, seem more right than wrong to too many people. The only ones who have any sense of right and wrong are those who know something about the Word of God, or those who have taken something from the commandments of God and say, yes, we ought to do this. Paul calls that the Gentiles who keep the work of the law written in their heart are a law unto themselves. In other words, all of God's laws always work all the time, and they are a law unto themselves because they come from God. Now, that doesn't mean that the Gentiles have an understanding of the plan of God or the Word of God, but this is just in general referring to people in the world whom you would call good, decent people in the world. And they think they are good and decent people in the world. However, they are blinded to their own sins, be it religious with the holidays, be it obedience to law in the society, be it how you conduct science, how you conduct education, all of these things. Now, combine this all together. Moreover, if these were the case then, what we've covered above here, God would no longer be God and sovereign ruler of the universe, because men would have the power to command God. Such a proposition is utterly absurd in the extreme. Now, what did I just describe here? Lawlessness. And men who pretend they are God. And where does that come from? Satan, the devil, who's the god of this world. And what did I just describe to you here in reading this? Exactly how Satan thinks in relationship to his wanting to be like God. Since he couldn't be that, and he knew that God's plan was that mankind would, according to God's plan and everything, be transformed and enter into the kingdom of God. So Satan, from that time, and that's undoubtedly why he rebelled, because after all, he couldn't stand the proposition that once those human beings who are made out of the dust of the earth enter into the kingdom of God and are transformed to spirit beings, will be above me. And I want to be like God. So this is what pervades the whole world. This is how Satan has deceived the whole world. Now, it's much more extreme than what I'm bringing out here. Okay? Now, let's look at some prophecies concerning the end time. And so we will put all of these prophecies together and get a picture of what is taking place. Let's come to 1 Timothy, the fourth chapter. 1 Timothy 4. Now this becomes important. Verse 1, 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit tells us expressly that in the latter times, now if we're not living in the latter times, as bad as things are now, I have no comprehension what the latter times are going to be. But as you will see as we get into this, how true it is. Some shall apostatize from the faith. Now, that's out of the churches of God. That's not talking about the world, because they're all deceived, and now here are those within the church of God who apostatize and reject God. And why would they do that? Because they're still free of moral agency. And why would they choose wrongly? Because they did not yield to God enough to then learn from God and receive from God the faith and the strength and the love and the hope to remain faithful at all times. Now, that leads to the next thing. And shall follow deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Satan the devil and his angels. Now, that does not just apply to religion. That applies to everything. Government, education, science, economics, everything that is in the world, everything that is in the world is ruled over by Satan the devil and his demons. Now today we can see this almost on a minute-by-minute perspective if you try and follow the news concerning the leaders of the world, concerning the upcoming election, and listening to our infamous president, Barack Hussein Obama. Verse 2, speaking lies in hypocrisy. This happens not only in government, but in the judicial system, in religion, in education, in finance, and it's such an intense way that it says, just hold your place here and go back to Isaiah 25. Now, some of these verses you will see I've had on my mind for quite a while. But here's one that really sticks in my mind when we talk about how intense is the deception of Satan the devil of the people in the world in all aspects of life. So much so that, as we will see, lawlessness becomes the accepted norm in everything. Do we have a dollar that is a lie? Yes. Do we have a government that is a lie? Yes. Are the religions of the world a lie? Are the educational systems of the world a lie? Where is their truth? All right. Why is the lying so intent in the world and the inability of people to see the truth? Why is that? Okay. Verse 7 talks about what Christ is going, the first thing he's going to do when he returns. Now we know the Day of Atonement pictures putting away Satan. That's only the start of the process leading up to the beginning of the millennium. But what is he going to have to do to people? And how many will be killed and destroyed? And then let's ask the question, you know, Dolores mentioned last night, boy, there's sure a lot of talk about death, doom, and gloom. I said, well, welcome to the last days. All right. How can you have a positive attitude with so much debt in the world? With so many lies in religion and in business, you have to have the Spirit of God and truth and the strength to understand what is right and what is wrong. But for the world, and God has called us out of the world, verse 7, and he will destroy in this mountain. It's the first thing he's got to do in order to reach people. And it says there in Ezekiel 36 that he's going to give Israel a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone, meaning that they will be also converted. In other words, the hardcore sin that is genetically within human beings is going to be modified. And God is the one who gave it to us. But Satan is the one who intensifies it. Now, let's go back. And let's talk for just a minute concerning the offering of Cain. And remember, if Josephus is correct, they were about 135 years old at that time, Cain and Abel. Okay? So there was the difference in approach to God by Cain and Abel for a long time. That's why Cain was jealous of the righteousness of Abel. And Cain wanted to do things his way and brought an offering his way by his choice rather than by what God commanded. And what did God say to Cain when he got mad because he didn't accept his offering? He said, if you do well, you will be accepted. But if not, sin lies at the door. So Satan can take the human nature, and through training and programming and controlling the mind, he's the spirit of the power of the air. Okay? Here's what he did beginning with Cain. He will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering which covers all people. Now, when we come to that little word all, it means all. And part of the problem that people have in reading the Bible is they really don't understand that every word means what it says. That's why a proper translation is important, and that's the attitude that we had when we produced the Bible. Now notice, the covering, which covers all people, and the veil that is woven over all nations. Okay, that's the state of the world today. Come back here to 1 Timothy 4. Here is the evidence broken down in different terms. So we can put there Isaiah 25 and verse 7, Satan has deceived the whole world. And here we have the means by which he has deceived them. Speaking lies and hypocrisies, their conscience having been cauterized with a hot iron. Forbidding to marry. And everyone says, oh yeah, that applies to the Buddhist and that applies to the Catholics. No, as we're going to see, it applies to a group of advanced elite today. And then it goes on concerning commanding to eat meats and so forth. All right. Now, let's come to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the third chapter. Verse 1, this also know that in the last days, all right, combine that with 1 Timothy 4, 1, okay, here's what that produces. Perilous times shall come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, braggarts, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, without self-control, savage, despisers of those who are good, betrayers, reckless, egotistical, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now, in spite of all of that, they appear religious, having an outward appearance of godliness, but denying the power of true godliness. But as for you, turn away from all these. Okay? Now, you look at the world today and see how absolutely true that is. And as I've mentioned before, when you go channel surfing through all of the channels, have the Ten Commandments handy and engage everything you look at. All right? Now let's have a second standard of gauging what you're looking at. Let's come to Galatians 5. And I did this the other night and concluded there wasn't anything worth watching. See, we don't have as many channels as some people. Some people have over 200 channels. We only have 70-some. All right, Galatians 5 and verse 19. So here's what we see. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery and fornication. First two, second sentence. Where does that start? Well, what are they doing in New York City? They're having 11 and 12-year-olds being taught every perverted sex act under the sun, because there is so much perverted sex in the world that, of course, we must protect the children. Well, that's not how you protect them. You teach them how, then, to pervert their own lives with the sex. And then provide them information where they can get abortion without their parents ever knowing. All right? Continuing, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, witchcraft, all follow one after the other. And as we are going to see, witchcraft is the ultimate end of where the elite scientists in the world are going today. Witchcraft and direct Satanism. Hatred, strifes, jealousies, indignation, contentions, division, sects, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such things as these, concerning which I am telling you beforehand, even as I have also said in the past, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. All right. Now, I want you to couple all of these things together, all of these verses. Let's construct a clear picture of what it's like at the end. Now let's come to the book of Daniel, Daniel the 12th chapter. Now let's add this into it, Daniel 12, and that's just before the book of Ezra. So if you're in the New Testament, go back to Matthew, and then you go 2 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, Nehemiah, Ezra, and then Daniel. Daniel 12 and verse 4. See, so I want you to keep everything in mind, all the verses that we have covered here, because we're going to add some other verses to it. Here's one of them. Verse 4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, that's describing our age, and our age has been this way, and it more intensified since all of the travel began. And even I myself, in preaching and teaching, I'm traveling to and fro, right? Yes, I'd be sure and take my air mattress with me, though. Okay? So this intensifies it. All right? Let's see right here. Verse 9. And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly. What does it mean, the wicked do wickedly? Is this just in a religious sense? Or is this not in every aspect of human life? Every aspect of human life. And none of the wicked shall understand. Why? Because they have this covering and this net. They are ensnared by Satan the devil. Isaiah 25:7, see? So you add that to it. Plus, the Christianity of this world, i.e. Catholicism and Protestantism, have told so many lies and have been so hypocritical that no one believes anything out of the Bible. Now, they may agree with some of the Ten Commandments, but God doesn't want partial recognition or obedience. He wants complete obedience. What did Jesus say when he was tempted by Satan the devil to turn the stones to bread? He said, man shall live by every word of God that proceeds out of his mouth. Okay? Which means then, you can't have a partial agreement with God. If you do, you're never going to be converted. You may have some blessings for keeping the letter of the law in some things, but you're still not going to understand the truth of what's happening. Now, let's come to Matthew 24. We're going to cover a couple of things here. And let's understand, in the end time, as we read the book of Revelation, the whole world is involved. Okay? All nations, all people. The whole world is involved. That's why we have such instantaneous communication today. And I remember when I came home, I flew American Airlines, and they've had this right on the fuselage of the plane, right next to the entrance when you get in. It says one world. Okay? Conditioning. Now I want you to stop and think of this. How many programs, books, people, politicians, bankers, financiers, educators, and just people in the world understand that now we are in a worldwide global setup, correct? Yes, indeed. And how many think that this is a wonderful, wonderful thing? Of course. Now, after I sat down and we were taking off, the stewardess came on and she said, we have snacks for sale. However, we no longer take cash. American Airlines has gone cashless. Now, what a convenient precursor to the mark of the beast, huh? Yes, indeed. All right. Now let's put all of this together. All right, verse 5, many will come in Christ's name. Verse 4, rather, he says, be on guard that so that no one deceives you. See, and with the deception the way it is around the world, all nations and people, man, that is a tough thing to maintain, which you can only maintain through prayer and through study and through keeping the Sabbath and the holy days of God. You cannot maintain it any other way, see? Because you ultimately have to come down to the question, is God right or are you right? Is God right or is man greater than God? Is God right or Satan the devil? So you have to answer those questions. Because if you don't, then you're going to reserve a little part in your mind for your own carnality and your own sin, and God wants that converted and swept away with the washing of the water of the word. All right. Many will come in his name saying, I am the Christ. And let's just put it this way. Many will come saying they are saviors of the financial situation, of the human condition, of religion. Isn't that what all the politicians are trying to do? What are they saying now to all of the Republican candidates? What is your plan to save the economy, right? And if they do, then they're a savior, okay? So it doesn't mean just Jesus the Christ. It means that there will be many coming as false Christ, false saviors for many different things. Right? In verse 6, wars, rumors of war, don't be disturbed. It's necessary that all these take place. Hey, go home tonight and get a map of the world or a globe of the world and look where there are wars, especially in Chaosstan. From North Africa, from the Atlantic, clear to Pakistan, and south to include all of the Arab states. And I think one financial man now includes all of Africa. Chaosstan. And then, oh, we have it too, don't we? Yes, 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 yes. The sit-in in Wall Street, the burning in Oakland. Oh, yes, you know. See, chaos. Nation against nation, and that means race against race. Do we have that? Kingdom against kingdom, famines, ongoing right now, yes. Pestilence, yes. Earthquakes, yes. Now, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. So if you are not fortified spiritually with the word of God and God's spirit, you're going to get greatly disturbed and probably depressed because you need to always focus on what did Jesus say? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All right? And we need that more than ever before. Now, I talked to, Jim talked to a man, and Jim conveyed to me that this man thought, well, this year, instead of going to the Feast of Tabernacles, that is with us, he decided to go to an independent one that was only 100 miles away from his home. Independent Church of God. Not once did they mention the purpose of the feast out of the 4 to 8 preachers they had. I don't know the whole setup that they had. That proves a point. Unless we constantly are focused on the goal. And isn't that what they tell you in sports, how to be successful? Focus on the goal. Well, they borrowed that from God. The way that you are successful spiritually is to focus on the goal. Have that as a goal. Don't be distracted by any of these things that are going on in the world, because we need to realize that in trusting the Word of God tells us all of these things are going to fail. Every one of them. Not one of them is going to succeed, even though they may have good intentions. Yes. Comment was made that there were Jews here in California who kept the Feast of Tabernacles, but they didn't mention the true meaning because they have rejected Jesus Christ, you see? Another good example of how you cannot use your free will to pick and choose so that you end up deciding good and evil. See? That's just exactly the way it is. Everything comes down to that one thing. All right, let's go on. Would you admit that all of these things are happening today that we just covered here in Matthew 24? Now, let's note something else that is interesting. While there were fulfillments of this prophecy beginning right at the time of Jesus, Matthew 24, on a worldwide basis, was made for today. So that if there's an earthquake like there was last week in Turkey, we hear about it instantly. Oh, seismograph just said there's a 7.2 earthquake in eastern Turkey right away. You know, right away when all of these things are taking place. Now, many false prophets shall arise. No, let's go down here. Verse 10. Then shall many be led into sin. That's what's happening. Like we were discussing before services. Well, let's set up a line at the schools and let's get all the freshmen to get in this line. But let's just start it at a blank wall and let's see how long the line is. Well, after a while, it got to be really long and they were going no place. And that's what happens when these airhead young adults who are no more than juvenile children mentally, spiritually, and intellectually go to college, they are immediately brainwashed into accepting all of the liberal stuff that is taught, which is pure lies, hypocrisies, and Satanism. I talked to one woman who said that her granddaughter grew up and she was supposed to be a nice granddaughter, but I reminded grandma she may have had that appearance that she was. Because in today's world, you never know what the children are doing when they're with their friends and when adults are not around. But she got to this college, accepted all this satanic liberalism, and within 60 days was a full-fledged lesbian. Okay? So you see. Now, verse 11. Many false prophets shall arise. They don't have to all be religious prophets. We're going to read about some prophets in human development that reject all religion, yet in the final analysis are going to be seeking Satan, the devil, and the spirit world. Now, verse 12, and because lawlessness shall be multiplied. Now, I want you to put all these verses together, okay? Go back and study them in sequence, one after the other. Let's ask the question, what is lawlessness and what does it mean to be multiplied? Okay, lawlessness is against law, and the ultimate of that is anarchy. And who is the father of anarchy? Satan, the devil. Lawlessness is rejecting the laws of God. Lawlessness carried even further is substituting your humanly devised ways in place of God's laws. Now then you multiply it. What do we have? The world of today. But we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, I'm going to tell you about this world that you know very little about, which is going to sweep this world off its feet.